Thanks, Regina. So my talk today is on the challenges ahead for the Carbon Farming Initiative. I'm going to look at four rough areas. Firstly, just a quick introduction on the Carbon Farming Initiative, and then a short discussion on what are the important design aspects when creating an offset program, before quickly looking at the strengths and weaknesses of the Carbon Farming Initiative, and then finally commentary on the challenges ahead. So the introduction, there were two types of Australian carbon credit units. You've either got Kyoto or non-Kyoto ACCUs. So Kyoto ones come from Kyoto projects that include activities that are counted in Australia's commitment under the Kyoto Protocol. So that includes, from the non-covered sectors, emission reductions from agriculture, legacy waste, and also the Article 3.3, reforestation and potentially avoided deforestation. But that doesn't include soil carbon, which Australia hasn't modelled in our Kyoto Protocol accounts. So the non-Kyoto projects that are allowed under the Carbon Farming Initiative include carbon stock changes from the additional land use change forestry activities. So they're the ones that are covered under Article 3.4. You've also got all soil carbon stock changes. And the last category is unmanaged lands, and that includes the likes of feral animal control. So this just shows those different categories. You've got agriculture, which roughly includes livestock grazing, manure management, rice cultivation, soils and burning. You've then got landfill gas, and then the land use change categories. And you can see there that the only, I guess, fully unencumbered activity under the land use is reforestation. That's going to be a Kyoto project. You've also got avoided deforestation, but that's not a recognised project mechanism under the Kyoto Protocol, so it can't be a joint implementation project. And then the other non-Kyoto projects are the Article 3.4, which is revegetation, forest management, and the cropping and grazing activities. So that's carbon stock changes in those activities. So an important part of the Carbon Farming Initiative is what was put forward in the Clean Energy Future legislation package. So the Clean Energy Act 2011 has recently been passed, sets up an emissions trading scheme that starts on the 1st of July 2012. The Kyoto ACCUs can be used in the ETS. There's a 5% per entity limit in the fixed price period, no limit in the flexible price period. There's unlimited banking and export. In the flexible period, there's also international project-based units from the land use and CDM projects can be used, as well as JI, except not the reforestation CDM, so not the TNL CERs. For the CFI non-Kyoto credits, the government's setting up a tender process to potentially purchase those units, which won't obviously have the compliance market and its higher price. So just what's happened in the last half of this year. On the 23rd of August, the bill was passed. There was a little bit of activity on the 21st of October when they released both the positive and negative list guidelines and forms. And then on the 8th of December, the CFI was officially launched, which included release of the regulations. It's actually just the first part of the regulations, so there is more to come. The setting up and operationalisation of the CFI administrator, so they're now open for business. There's now a process for becoming a recognised offset entity, so the person who can be attributed the carbon credits from CFI activities. And there's also a couple of other minor aspects related to certain project types. So what's happening so far? There are six methodologies that have been under consideration. More probably have been submitted, but these are the ones that have gone through the main process to the Domestic Offsets Integrity Committee. Of these, two have been approved recently, one on the destruction of methane in piggeries and one landfill gas one, and four are still under consideration. So on the next section, what's actually important when you're designing an offset program? So the five core accounting requirements for greenhouse gas projects, which is essentially established by the Clean Development Mechanism, but adopted basically by every other greenhouse gas program that's been developed for project-level activities. So you've got that they need to be additional. That is, they can't be what was going to happen otherwise. They need to be real. They need to have actually been achieved, and they have to have accounted for leakage. They need to be measurable. That is, that they can actually be measured to a reasonable degree of certainty. They need to be verifiable, so checked by a third party, and essentially repeatable. And they need to be, for reservoir projects, long-term. So that's where you have, they need to meet address non-permanence through risk of reversal mechanisms. So the key features or criteria of an offset program that can affect their credibility and uptake include additionality, leakage, measurement uncertainty, the methodology approval process, materiality or de minimis, and what this means for those who aren't as familiar with project accounting is the reasonably small sources of emissions that aren't really cost-effective to measure. Different programs have treated this in different ways, so if it's 2 or 3%, a lot of people say don't worry about it. Others say you've got to include it in this way or that way. And then for reservoir projects, addressing non-permanence. There are other features, of course, that are important, but they're not as key in ensuring that a tonne is really a tonne. So this table just summarises what's happening under the Carbon Farming Initiative for these issues. So it sets out both the issue and then what the requirement is under the Carbon Farming Initiative, and then has a bit of a look on what perhaps some of its issues or where it could be improved. So in terms of additionality, at the moment there's no option for project-specific inclusion, so it's all being determined and put onto a positive list. This does have benefits in that it reduces the burdens both of project developers and administrators, but you've potentially got a grey area of projects that could have specific characteristics that make them additional, but they aren't going to be picked up because they're just too prevalent in their industry sector. It's also not so far particularly clear how evidence-based the ones that have already been determined to be on the positive list are. And lastly, in my opinion, having the Domestic Offsets Integrity Committee as being having a say in those that go on is a conflict of interest. A lot of them are involved in project development, and you do not need greenhouse gas accounting specialists to determine whether something's additional. It's actually not a skill that you require to do. You need to know how common it is, and you need to be able to look at its financial or impediments or barriers to their implementation. So moving on to leakage. While it was discussed in the early documentation, there's still no requirements that have been set out. The department is working on it, and presumably it'll either come in regulations or be set out in guidelines. But one of the problems at the moment is it is very important, and it hasn't been included effectively in any of the methodologies that have been proposed so far. Essentially, the same can be said about measurement uncertainty and materiality. So it's been discussed in the early documentation, there's no requirements, and they haven't been addressed in the methodologies. In terms of addressing non-permanence, this has actually been done quite well so far. They've got three aspects that are important. They've set up long-term obligations. They've got this average crediting approach, which was mentioned by the New Zealand speaker this morning. And they've also got a risk buffer. So in my opinion, the only thing that could be improved is that the risk buffer is a flat rate that actually doesn't allow any differentiation between the different project types, which can have different profiles, and also doesn't provide any actual incentive to manage that risk. So finally, on the methodology approval, this is an open process. I know a lot of people, I guess, have the opinion that transparency is good. In this regard, I'd tend to disagree. I think there's a lot of innovation and potentially competitive behaviour being held back, and where it's actually important is the quality of the methodologies is actually quite low, because anything you develop, you have to share with all your competitors. And I consider this quite an important detraction, actually. So to summarise on the challenges ahead, the core objective when you design a greenhouse gas program is to establish requirements that maximise the credibility of the reduction unit while also allowing incentive to participate. Additional important considerations also include minimising investment risk, providing incentive for good behaviour, and certainly not incentive for bad behaviour, reducing the subjectivity and technical burdens for your project proponents, auditors and administrators. So final points. I think it's very important to set high standards early in a program and not to allow projects to go through that are potentially not actually going to be eligible in the long run. Probably the most significant problem, in my opinion, is that of leakage. It hasn't been addressed. It has the potential to have a very large impact on projects. You can have a leakage effect that goes up to 10,000%. You can certainly have leakage at 100%, which essentially invalidates the project. So you could have projects going through now which are actually not truly viable, and when the rules come in, you're going to have a bit of a problem. And this is especially important for biomass projects. And the second one, which isn't as important but still can have an effect, is measurement uncertainty. This is important for two reasons. Firstly, it can impact the actual amounts that get issued at the end of the day, but it also is a good mechanism for providing both good measurement and good management, which is important in the long term. Thanks.